A large group of men, women, and children are working with picks, axe, and shovels, scraping the ice off the pavement. It's about 13 degrees below zero, though it hasn't snowed for a while. At first, it seems they're doing it to keep the square from being slippery, but then I notice they're taking the ice and putting it in bags. 72-year-old Ivan Litvin is watching their progress, so I ask him what it's all about. He explains that police have been flooding the square with water from their side to keep it slick. That gives them an advantage in any confrontation. So demonstrators have cut channels in the ice to channel the water downhill. Then they put the ice they've collected into bags to reinforce barricades around the main square. It's an ingenious method and paying dividends. Over the past 2 months, those barricades made from ice and snow stand around 4 meters high. Protesters have even erected wooden watchtowers, which provide strategic observation posts. It's a layered defense system. At the frontline barricades, protesters are only a few hundred meters from police. It's a staring contest that can last for days, but it's broken out in serious clashes several times in the past month. At the base of the police line, there's a last checkpoint. Andrei Kishko, a 32-year-old from the western city of Ozhgod, is preventing people without helmets and protective gear from entering.
This system was organized to protect the people on Maidan from the external dangers.
Kishko is a security volunteer. Many are young men patrolling with helmets and large sticks. They can appear menacing at times, but he says they're there to keep the peace.
This is the self-defense, so-called self-defense forces. The volunteers, which came from all over the Ukraine, and they are organized here in a coordination center. And these plain people from all sides of Ukraine, all are volunteers, like me also.
There are rules to enforce. Alcohol and drugs are not tolerated anywhere on the square. There's also a danger of infighting between groups. But he says chiefs direct their units by radio, and the forces are disciplined. In their downtime, they drill for the attack everyone expects will come if a negotiated settlement isn't found. Some carry metal riot shields, seized as trophies during past melees. Others, like this group of young men, practice a phalanx formation using plywood shields. A lieutenant barks orders, and they practice getting formations, sparring with one another. It's very cold here. The tents are sealed and heated with wood-burning stoves, but to demonstrate, people must remain outside and vigilant. There are a number of soup kitchens and tea stations operating around the clock. 31-year-old Marina says she's prepared hundreds of liters per day for the people who wouldn't last in the cold otherwise.
Without hot drinks, it wouldn't be possible to stay out here. It's cold. It's very cold.
Despite the preparation for clashes, many are hoping for a political solution. Zhanna, a 77-year-old pensioner, says both the opposition and government need to act with maturity.
It's very difficult to say what the opposition will do next, but it needs to act prudently and very diplomatically. It needs to persuade the government to serve the people's interest. The government has just given up listening to the people. It only listens to itself.
There have been seizures and attempted seizures of administration buildings across the country, but the ruling Party of Regions of President Viktor Yanukovych still draws support in eastern and southern parts of the country. This has led to fears this crisis could further divide the country.
The divide between two Ukraines is very big. It's true.
That's 32-year-old Alexander Gore. He lives in Kiev now, but was born and raised in the Donetsk region, where most speak Russian and support for the government is higher. He says the government remains popular in his home region as long as it maintains its strong image. That's why protesters have found they're only listened to when they use force.
Unfortunately, in the last 2 months, only violence helped us to kick any concessions out of Yanukovych, unfortunately. But that's the real experience. Without violence, no concessions, unfortunately.
Such is life on Kiev's independent square. Many protesters say they continue to pray for peace, even as they prepare for war. Jacob Resnik, DW, Kiev, Ukraine.